Well, let's hear a little more with Julian Zelizer, professor of history and public affairs at Princeton. And Julian, a political convention like no other, we always say that, but are there any comparisons?
Well, I actually think it looks a lot like our convention since 1968. Every 4 years, we hear the critics say these are made for television, they're made for the cameras, and the delegates make fewer decisions. And so what we saw yesterday didn't look totally different as a convention, other than the fact there were no delegates there. There was no live audience for the speakers. But this is a continuation of trends that have been taking place for decades.
You know, you're so right, because everyone talks about, oh, it's the human interaction that can happen at a convention. And you can maybe stop someone in the hall who maybe wouldn't have taken your call, you know, and put them right on the air. You meet these delegates from across the country. But any dramatic backroom dealings, any surprises, that's been long gone.
No, that's true. Since the 60s, the candidates are selected through the primaries and caucuses. 1976 is the last time there's anything like a closely contested convention where President Ford is almost defeated by Ronald Reagan. But other than that, these are really an opportunity for the party to showcase what they're about, to showcase their candidates and future stars of the party. And all of that happened yesterday. And in some ways, this just allowed them to amplify the visuals and the different kinds of techniques that they're using in the production process.
Yeah, there's no going back to the backroom deals. But what did you think, especially someone looking at an upcoming election and the need the Democrats have to maybe even pull some people from Donald Trump?
Well, I thought it was interesting. There were moments I was watching and I did feel like it was a little bit like an infomercial. It was almost too crafted and too scripted. But there were moments that shined. Look, when some of the average Americans spoke about their experience, like the woman whose father had died of COVID, it was incredibly moving. And Michelle Obama showed how this medium could be very effective. And she used a sort of informal fireside chat to show other politicians how you communicate in this environment. And it was a very powerful speech, I thought.
Well, some have said, though, that it was almost apocalyptic, you know, especially when she talked about, you know, the possibility of there being problems with voting. So let's talk about that. Can you think of another time when a president attacked the process, said the election was going to be rigged before he started talking about the post office?
No, I really can't. And this is something we even discussed back in 2016 before he was president. The closest is 2000, some would argue, after the election results were kind of in, that George W. Bush and the Republicans were pretty fierce in not allowing a full count to happen. But that's very different. Here we have a president who's openly not only questioning the integrity of the process, but undermining the integrity of the process by preventing universal mail-in voting in the middle of a pandemic. And we haven't had a president raise these kind of risks in my memory. And that isn't even including risks from overseas interference that the administration is not really paying attention to,
which we know happened. But, you know, absentee ballots, these are the ones that you request because you have a good reason. Or, as you say, mail-in ballots, which get sent to everyone in a state that uses them. Infinitesimal fraud. We talked about that yesterday. But there was tampering, you know, back in the day before changes were made. Are you saying you don't have concerns now about things like mail-in ballots?
No, I don't. Study after study shows we're not in the 19th century. And that in states that use this kind of process and make it pretty easy for citizens to vote by mail, there isn't widespread problem. And Republicans and Democrats attest to this. So the evidence on the ground suggests this could be done. The biggest threat is that we don't provide the states with the resources to make this happen and to allow the count to happen easily. So it's really not a question of does this lead to lots of voting fraud, but does the government set up a process that will allow the votes to be counted and which will make it easy for everyone who doesn't want to risk a health tax to vote to put their decision in through the mail?
Julian Zelizer, professor of history and public affairs at Princeton, who always helps us look at current events through past ones. Julian, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.